Hello, and welcome to Education Radio. This is a podcast of the Alamosa School District, and we are coming to you today with a special edition. I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, teacher, and your neighbor. Joining me is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo.
Hello, Adri. Today is, in fact, a very special edition. We have two amazing guests with us today, but before we get to that, I have to tell you that I'm still loving the weather in Alamosa.
Right, but hang on.
I know. You know, when we recruit folks or we try to get folks to stay and not leave us ever, and we talk about 360 days of sun, and it, in fact, happens.
It does. You know, each season has its beauty, and the leaves have just really stood out this season. But they're not going to last much longer.
They are not. Daylight savings.
Get out there and take a look at those leaves.
Just right around the corner.
Yes, it is.
So Sunday, November 5th, we will have to, unfortunately, change our time. And this happens at 2 a.m. and it's going to start getting dark at 5:30 and then 5, and then it's going to feel like 4 p.m.
You know, it's always hard to lose that sunlight so early. But getting up in the morning, it's a little easier.
That's a good point. Hey, before we move on, there's something I'd like to celebrate.
Okay.
You know better than I do about the recent upgrades to the media center at OMS.
Yes.
Through the use of ESSER funds, OMS has been getting a bunch of facelifts, uh-huh. And today they got a huge one. What can you tell us about it? Yes.
So our library media center looks different today. I mean, still the four walls, but the furniture made it look sleek and modern. You know, that furniture that had been there for a long time.
I have heard.
I had myself had personally mended some of the pillows and stuff, but now it's just sleek and modern. But you know what really stood out when I, you know, was looking it over is the versatility of the furniture. I mean, it can be arranged in different ways. You can accommodate more students if you have a large event or just small groups. I really liked that versatility. And I hope that our students are proud of it and that they'll take good care of it.
Yeah. You know, when I was writing how we wanted to use the money after it got prioritized, I started looking at research, and there's tons of research behind how furniture helps learning and how it helps with kids who've experienced trauma or kids who have a hard time concentrating. So
right.
I'm just very, very happy that we are able to, in small chunks, provide new furniture, because it's so important for all schools. But we know that OMS, you know, does have that old furniture. And I got a chance to be there this morning, and I saw a bunch of kids just smiling and sitting down on the new furniture.
Sure.
And it seemed like they were doing some work and collaborating, so that's always good.
You know, and I think the furniture lends itself well to that. And, you know, being a small town, it just had kind of that, you know, big city kind of look.
All right.
So next time you're at OMS, stop by and peek in the library. And there's also some good pictures out there on social media. So
yeah, I got a chance to see them.
All right. Well, let's move into our first segment, Happenings at Our Campus.
All righty. Our school board is composed of 7 community members who are democratically elected and choose to serve our community. Our board members do a lot of work through policymaking to guide our superintendent in the direction of our school district. Board members serve 4-year terms and can be reelected once to serve a total of 8 years. But besides the amount of board meetings, which is 2 per month, plus some special board meetings or work sessions here and there, they also serve on several committees we have around our district.
Right.
We have policy committee, we have DAC, we have 1338, which now we have a different name for it. We have UDLT, I mean, we have several committees, so yes. they give a lot of their time, mm-hmm. Really to help us bring the voice of the community and to guide our district to continue to move forward. And today we have 2 folks who are running for 1 seat at our next election, which is just around the corner.
Yes, it is.
So I have the pleasure to introduce 2 people. The first one is Andrea Gay. She is one of our current board members. She was appointed to fill a vacancy, which opened up after one of our former board members moved to another state. And then we also have Kaylee Gomez, who works at Adams State University as the director of the College Assistant Migrant Program, or CAMP. And they're going to do a longer introduction, but I just wanted to introduce them that way. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. What a great opportunity to have our community meet you all and to listen how you hope to impact our schools. So we're just going to jump right in. So this is our special edition. And so we have some questions for you that you will both have a chance to answer. And then we'll let each of you have a moment at the end just to share some last words with our audience. I think this is just such a special occasion. So thank you, ladies. Number one, that you are willing to run and for agreeing to be here and let our community get a chance to listen to both of you. All right, let's get started.
All right, so I did a very brief intro. So you guys get a chance to tell us all about yourself.
Okay, well, my name is Andrea Gay. I am a Valley native. I grew up just south of Alamosa, went to North Conejo School District, and then attended Adams State, where I got my undergrad and my master's degree, and then I taught in Monta Vista for 3 years at the middle school, and I taught social studies. I have three kids in the school district. I have an elementary, a middle school, and a high schooler, and my husband and I, we own a irrigation and landscaping company, and we just we're just living here.
Living the life.
You're enjoying 360 days of sun.
Yeah, nearly. I do. I love it. It is a unique place to live, but it's a lot of fun. My family's been here for a long time, and I just love it. I love the connection, and I heard someone say yesterday that, you know, they live in a real community where people know each other, and when someone has something happen, you know, everyone comes together and they take care of each other, and you're not alone, and I just love that about this area. I don't know.
That's very true. Okay. I would definitely agree with that. I haven't been here for 21 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me on this podcast. Again, my name is Kaylee Gomez Romero. I'm currently the project director for the College Assistance Migrant Program, also known as CAMP. I am a San Luis Valley born and bred person, and I grew up south of Alamosa, but I am an Alamosa High School alum. I am a double alumna from Adams State University as well, with my bachelor's degree in business administration with an emphasis in marketing, and then I received my master's degree 2 years ago in higher education administration and leadership. I've loved this community. I love giving back. I love volunteering. I love being involved in just all the different aspects, because the community comes together and it just is so interconnected, whether it be with the high school or the elementary, middle school, with the university. I'm like, sometimes that's a student's first point of contact to higher education, and that's what really excites me. And even for myself too, we had Knowledge Bowl there, even highly involved as a high school student as well in student council, and I was in our student government as well as student trustee at Adams State as well, and then now I serve on different boards and in different capacities at the university as well.
Well, Adrian and I are both transplants to the Valley, so we are humbled
yes, we
to
are.
Be here with Valley
Absolutely.
Natives, but we
yes,
both
yes.
love this community.
Absolutely. Well, you answered my question. I was going to ask you if you grew up in this community, and you've answered it. You both have. As Dr. Murillo says, neither of us grew up here, but, you know, just yesterday I was like, you know, there's so little stress in living in a small community. Versus I thought, oh, goodness, what if I lived in Houston, Texas, or someplace, you know, and had to deal with the stress of big city living, and we don't have that. So, okay, you are both from here. We're going to move on to our next question.
All right. Well, you guys are both running for one seat, and, you know, when I talked about sort of what board members do, it's a lot of time. And nowadays, board members, you know, just education. You guys are under scrutiny, or board members are. So why in the world are you running to serve our community as a board member?
Yeah, and I think about this question a lot, and I've had a lot of people ask me, like, why are you running? And when I think about it, I'm like, I think the community has given so much to me and helped me grow and develop as an individual that I want to give that back. I was talking to somebody the other day and said that he had a couple of daughters. I was at a career fair, and he said, I want, like, my daughters want to see people just like them grow and thrive in the community. And then I think another main reason is I want to be that voice for students. And I think about having somebody that I didn't have growing up. So being able to do that servant leadership and be able to give back to my community, because the community has given so much to me.
My reasons are kind of layered. I have been very actively involved in the district for probably the past, I think this is like my eighth year. I started in the District Accountability Committee and kind of grew from there, and now in a variety of committees. And I've just grown to really enjoy working with the district and learning more about how it functions and how all these committees come together to make our district work. It's been fascinating to learn about all the pieces. And when this position came available, I felt like I was in a good position with my experience and just the participation that I have put in, that I could step in and kind of fill this void for a while. And I've gotten used to going to most of the board meetings already for the other committees that I am on. So the time commitment wouldn't be like a huge shift for our family, because I was already doing that for a lot of the meetings. And you know, some of it too is just the example I've had growing up. My family has all been incredibly active in community service and kind of that same attitude, just giving back. Like I said, I grew up going to North Conejo School District, and so I knew my teachers, my parents knew my teachers all through school. In high school, I had teachers who taught my parents, and, you know, so just that connection. And when I started having my kids in school up here, it felt very foreign to have that kind of disconnect, and I didn't know anybody, and you know, it was just very different. And so that was part of what started me getting involved, is I wanted to know the teachers, and I wanted to know the staff, and I wanted to know what was going on with my kids and their life. And I have loved that experience. And the staff, they know my kids and they know me, and maybe not every single one, but most of them. And that was what I wanted. And so this is kind of like just the next step in that process, I think.
All right. I'm going to give you a chance later on to plug in DAC, because I know that it's one of the goals of the DAC to get more parents involved. I was just thinking about that, but let's stay on script.
Okay.
All right. So both of you guys interact with the district at different levels. You know, you, Kaylee, with Adams State University and being a member of our community, and Andrea, you currently serve on our board. What are some of the positive things you see happening at our district that we should continue and or expand?
I think I'd mentioned this earlier informally, is the student involvement. We've been really involved with now plugging in the trunk or treat with the Key Club this weekend on Friday, and we use that as recruitment for our program, the College Assistance Migrant Program. But I love seeing that livelihood in students, and especially post-pandemic, because during the pandemic there was no involvement, there was no clubs, and it's that co-curricular learning that I think just needs to help students keep growing and thriving and learning those 21st century skills. So that excites me, that it's like kind of that like outside of the box, like what's going on outside of the classroom, and that how can that help me in the future? And then that creates pathways into either career readiness or higher education. So that's what excites me, is that students are excited about their future, about future jobs, about what skills that they need to get their dream careers. I talked to a student at one of the fairs about her becoming a pilot, and although I always recommend Adams State University, and I was telling her about other programs and other colleges that have that pilot program. So it's really just finding that connection, like, what do they want to do? You know, that career readiness, the career pathways, that's what excites me, is that students want to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that fits right into our profile of a graduate, which we're, you know, starting year two and working very hard to get that embedded into our system. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. there are definitely a lot of good things that are happening in the district right now. Our academic achievement and growth has increased significantly, as we've shared out quite a bit over the last little bit. The CMAS results were just tremendous, and a tremendous result of a lot of effort and very strategic planning, really. And I think that that demonstrates what we are capable of. And it was really encouraging to see that kind of growth. And that was just wonderful. I love a lot of the programs that are going on at the high school, the CTE programs, and, you know, I really feel like the high school is doing everything they can to provide a variety of opportunities to students. So whatever you want to do post-high school, they will do whatever we can to help get you ready and to get you on the right track and connected with the right people so that you can be productive after high school. And that's another wonderful thing. I am tied to capturing kids' hearts, and I love that we are implementing that. That was a tool that we were trained in Monta Vista, and I loved it. It made me a better teacher. It really did. And so I love seeing that being used in our schools, and you can see the kids are happy, and it just all goes together with kind of the overall plan of, you know, creating a place where kids want to be. And so I think those are some of the top things.
Yeah, we the message that Dr. Jones delivered at the start of the school year, and just about any time she can, is belongingness. And that's definitely, you know, aligned to capturing kids' hearts and some other initiatives that we're working very hard on at the school district.
All right. So tell us, what are some areas of growth the Alamosa School District would like to focus on more? All right. All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Andrea's going to begin.
Okay. I think that sense of belonging is really an area that we need to focus on. You know, I talk to my kids when they come home from school and some of their friends, and it's a toss-up. Some days everything's great and they feel good, and then usually elementary is pretty good. Pretty
middle
good.
Middle school's tough.
Yeah. Middle school's hard. Yes. And I think that we need to be strategic and diligent in our in the atmosphere that's at the middle school. Just as strategic and diligent as we were in our academic progress, we need to kind of do that same thing with the culture at the middle school and the high school a little bit too. And I think we've done tremendous work in the elementary grades. They're also just a little easier to accomplish that. But middle school is hard. Middle school is just hard. But I really think that's an area that we need to put some effort into. We need to continue. I mean, this is something that we're working on, but we definitely need to stay focused on closing the gap in each grade so that students are performing at grade level. And you know, that's hard, and it's hard across the state and the country. But I think we saw tremendous growth, and that's great. But we don't want to stop. You know, we want to keep pushing and really help kids just come up and be proficient in the grade that they're in. So those are kind of my two priorities.
Well, you're talking to two middle school educators.
Yep. So
we both
20
love.
20 years.
Yeah. So you know.
20 years in middle school.
I love middle school. I mean, I love all ages, but I just have
There's something, you know, they come in as babies in sixth grade, and then we see them grow, and then they're ready to go on to high school.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just such a time of discovery for them.
It is.
And trying to balance,
you know,
those needs and academic needs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on.
Yeah, to answer your question, I can agree more with Andrea. I think that sense of belonging, those safe spaces, it sounds like with the middle school as well, that there is starting to be that kind of just safe space, that belonging. And I even see that in the higher education level. We need, from elementary all the way into higher ed, you need those safe spaces and that sense of belonging in order to thrive. If you have like a club or a group, then with your like-minded individuals, you're getting set up to thrive for the future. So I couldn't agree more on that sense of belonging, that readiness in between, like, are you at that grade level? Are you ready from fifth grade to sixth grade? Because it is a jump. I think even more is eighth grade to ninth grade. Mm-hmm. So even promoting, through my career, I've worked with like summer bridge programs and middle school programs and those little 2 weeks in the summer where like, hey, we're getting you ready for high school. And that's so important to build that sense of community, that sense of right. belonging and that knowledge of, okay, I'm in elementary school, but what does middle school look like? Or mm-hmm. I've been used to middle school for 3 years. What does high school look like? What does it mean to be a freshman? Because it's just so different even from freshman year all the way to senior year. Like things just keep growing and things just keep changing. So,
yeah, it's a Absolutely. Good point you made about, you know, belonging in higher ed. I think we all know that we have several students who take concurrent enrollment classes. And mm-hmm. when I get a chance to speak to them, you know, the sense of belongingness, and I think it comes with choice, which goes back to your comment about pathways and different choices for kids at the high school. I get a sense that they really feel like they belong because they have choice mm-hmm. as to what they're mm-hmm. studying. So it's a really good point. All right, so we have a profile of a graduate that really talks about the skills and qualities that our students will have by the time they graduate. What are the qualities that a board member should possess to be able to serve on a school board?
some leadership qualities. I think I've been through a lot of different leadership development throughout my professional development and throughout my career. I think it's definitely meeting the people where they are, and I think I've done that in my career as well. Working with our most vulnerable populations as migrant seasonal farm workers and their dependents, and so you are meeting them where they are. Am I having a session when they get off work, or am I providing childcare or things like that? So parents can get involved and active listening, but then also knowing when to advocate for them. I mean, I've even had a role as an advocate with the migrant education program, and that's huge, is being that trusted adult for students and being that listening ear for parents. So definitely those active listening skills, but you also need to know like how policy and procedure works and working with your other board members and how what their leadership styles are too, and then also being adaptable.
Yeah. You know, I heard you talk about your experience working with vulnerable populations, and then Andrea, you were talking about closing the gap. Mm-hmm. And you know, I get to look at a lot of data and I get to report to the board, and you know, part of my job that I love is that I get to oversee curriculum instruction and implementation and growth and all that. And I think, you know, we've been very transparent about our gaps. And some of our gaps are with students who I identify as English language learners, special education students, so migrant students. So I'm glad you brought that up. Andrea.
I agree with Kaylee. I definitely think that a board member needs to be a good listener. I like talking with people. My kids sometimes don't like going places with me because they're like, oh, you talk to everybody. But I do. I like to talk to people. I like to hear where they're coming from. What are their concerns? What are their experiences? Because, you know, mine is definitely not going to be the same as everybody else's. And I enjoy doing that. And not everybody does. But that's one thing that I think is really important, is to listen to other people. And I would hope that people go away feeling heard. You know, it's not just, yeah, I'm listening to you, but to really be an active listener and try to understand where people are coming from. Like Kaylee said, leadership skills are definitely important. The board functions a little bit differently sometimes than what people think. You know, Heidi Richardson likes to call it the 30,000 foot view, and sometimes that perspective is good to keep in mind, that, you know, kind of what the role is of a board member. And so I think, like a lot of things, a board member needs to be someone who likes to learn, you know, because there's a lot of learning that needs to go on the role and all the policies and how everything works. And I think that kind of goes with working well with other people. You've got to be able to work with people who have different perspectives, come from different backgrounds, you know, just have different points of view. And, I don't know. That's something I've always enjoyed. I like hearing from people. I like to know where people come from and why they think what they do and why they want what they want. And so, yeah, those are kind of the top top qualities I think would apply.
So my question's related to that. At a particularly divisive time in the U.S., how will you work to bring unity to the board for the betterment of our schools? Because you're not all going to agree, right?
Right.
And so how would you work to bring that unity in so that the board can move forward?
Sure.
Who wants to go first?
I can.
Go ahead.
Okay. One thing that I've always kind of been accused of, I guess, is finding the compromise.
Okay.
That's what, I don't know, just in all the different things that I've been in, that's what people would always say is, like, you know, you're always looking for the compromise. But I think that's the key. We have to find where's the compromise and what's best for the district as a whole. It's not going to be necessarily my opinion or you know, other board members' individual opinions. It needs to be what's good for the whole. And so I think reminding everyone to kind of take a step back from their own views and look at that. What is good? What's good for our students? What's good for our families? What's good for our community? And really keeping that in mind when we're making decisions and having discussions, and not fall into kind of the political divisiveness. Anyway, that's okay. My main.
Thank you. I would agree with you 100%. Me as a leader as well, I try to find a compromise with people and listen. It's like we're all saying the same thing but in different ways. And how does that make this decision cohesive, where all of our input is valued and all of our input is heard? So I am also an individual of compromise, especially being on different boards and being in these multiple roles, the different hats that I wear, is like, how does this interconnect? Something about me too is always being intentional, I think, and always having that intention no matter what decision we make. Does it have that intention? Are we doing this for the better intention of the parents, of the students, and of the community in general? So I think number one is always being always listening, always being intentional, giving your voice when you can and when it's right. And so that way we can all come together, because that's why we are a board, is to come together and make the best decisions for the student as possible.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
All right. If you get elected, what will your legacy be in either, you know, 4 if you choose to do 1 term, or 8 years if you choose to do 2 terms, or if you're filling someone else's term for however long you are on the board? I mean, the question is, what would your legacy be from now until you're not on the board anymore?
I think I'm coming full circle to the beginning of our interview. I think when I think about my legacy, I want like other little girls or other young people to see that somebody in their community is making it, you know, and is in these positions and is in there to make these decisions to better the community. Like I said, I want to be that person that I wish I had growing up. I want to be that voice and that advocate and that champion for this population, for the greater almost the community, the district, and not only for them, but also for myself too. I would love to leave this footprint in this community that we did good. No, as a board, as members, that we're just doing good things.
Thank you.
Well, I've been thinking about that question. and I don't think of it as like my legacy. It's not so much about me, you know. I just want to see our school district thrive. I want kids wanting to be in our district, instead of having too many kids choosing to go to other districts around us. I want kids to want to be here and families to want their kids to come here. And so I don't think about it so much as me. I just want to help make decisions that make our school district great.
All right.
So final words for our voters. So this is where you get, you're on your own. All right. Thank you both for coming and for opening up with our community. And so any final words? Because at the end of the day, one of you is going to be the new school board member. And so talk to our audience. All right. Start with your name. All right. And end with your name and Okay. Who wants to go first?
Okay. So final words again. My name is Kaylee Gomez Romero. Just to let the people know, I am new. I am new in this realm. But always, again, willing to learn, wanting to grow for the betterment of the students and to be that voice for them, for those who can't necessarily speak themselves and they need that person. I think over the years, like I said, I've been really active in the community, active through higher education, and then in my role as a recruiter as well, being involved with the different school districts, and especially Alamosa as well. I think regardless, we're making the best decisions for this community, no matter what happens. I'm just really excited to be here, get the word out, and then still be involved no matter what happens.
Thank you, Kaylee.
Thank you.
All right. Well, so this is Andrea Gate, and I just want Alamosa School District to be wonderful. I really do. That is my ultimate goal. I have been involved in a variety of committees. I have been on the District Accountability Committee. This is my eighth year, and I would strongly encourage any parents or community members who want to be more involved in the school district. That is a wonderful place to get started. There are also school accountability committees, and I participate in those as well, in the schools where my kids attend. And they're just a great place to learn about what's going on in the school, in the district, kind of how decisions are made and who makes them, and who makes decisions about different things, and the issues that are going on in our district. We look at the data after every assessment that we do. We analyze it, and we kind of look at what's going on and what can we do better. And so I put a plug in for that in every meeting, I think, hoping that more parents will come out and participate, because we want to hear from you. We really do. We want parent involvement, and we want to know what we can do to make the school better for your kids. As I also have been participating in the elementary PTO for years, and that is another great place to be involved if you have elementary aged kids. We welcome all parents. This year has been so exciting. We have, I think, like 7 or 8 new parents, and oh my gosh, like I was about to cry. I was so excited. We just haven't had a lot of parent involvement, especially since COVID, but before that we were starting to really struggle, and we want parents involved. As well as those, I'm on a few other committees that has just really given me a good picture of the district as a whole. We have the academic side, and we have behavior, and we have social and emotional health, and we just have all these pieces that make up our district, and being involved in all of these committees over the years has really just helped me understand more, and I really enjoy it. And I mean, ultimately, that is my goal, is to help make Alamosa a great school. And I hope that people would feel comfortable coming to me and letting me know, you know, what issues do you have, what's not working, what is working. I mean, I think we should celebrate the good just as equally as maybe we point out things that aren't working. We need to celebrate all the good things, because there are good things happening. And I just love our community, and I think there's so much potential here. We have this big school, and there's just a lot of potential to make it even better and to just improve and grow. And so, that's what I hope to accomplish or contribute to.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrea. Well, normally we move into our next segment, Celebrate, but really I just want to celebrate both of you for that commitment to our students, our schools, and our community. And I'd like to thank you for being here and wish you both the best. Could we have both of you on the board? All right, a double winner this time.
Make a board of 9.
Right. Well, I'd like to also give a shout out to the rest of the school board for their dedication as well. And I look forward to having a new board soon. And, we will continue to move on and work to improve our district. Excellent. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our last segment in this special edition, upcoming events. Of course, we want everyone to vote, so cast your ballot, make your voice count. My ballot is waiting for those marks, and send it in.
Yeah, election date. Big day, November 7th.
Yes, absolutely.
So we have until then to mail in our ballots.
Right.
Drop them off, or go vote in person.
Right. All right. Well, that does it for today's special edition of Education Radio. Parents and neighbors, thank you for joining us. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district page. Remember, parents, that a good education is key to your child's success and provides your child with a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.